I know he's our kid, but I'll tell you, don't matter. Churches all around the country would love to have him. He's a tremendous blessing. Great preacher. Great principal and school teacher. Just all around guy, just phenomenal. I'm really excited. I can't tell you how happy I'm about our school. To see God's hand on it the way it is. Something that we prayed about for a long time. And I'm so glad we stepped out and you stood with me. I was glad to see Dakota today. God bless Dakota. Haven't seen him for a while. When it was so bad, you can't take him out. He gets that pneumonia in his lungs. I'm just glad he's here today. Please turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. Rod and Debbie Black, they are out of town. They're in Pennsylvania. They're preaching. And we're thankful for that. The Lord opened up the door for them. And thank God for that. Matthew chapter 27. John, come here for a minute, would you? Run these up to Brother Danny up there in the sound system. Thank you, John. Matthew chapter 27. How many have Matthew chapter 27, verse 22? This is a great crowd today. Good to see you. And good to see each one of you. By the way, I'll be teaching Romans Tuesday night, 7 p.m. We did the explanation of justification. And this coming week, we'll be doing the illustration and application. We're going to illustrate justification. And then, how does it apply to my life? And so, we'll be doing that this coming Tuesday. 7 p.m. We're thankful for. We have around 20-some people show up every Tuesday night. We have families come in. We have families that don't even come to this church. Just come and take my Romans class. It's amazing how God has blessed that. So if you're ever interested in hearing the Word of God, you come out and study with us at 2 hours on Tuesday night. How many have their hand now in Matthew chapter 27, verse 22? You got that? Hold your finger there also and turn to John. Don't lose Matthew. Turn to John chapter 19. John chapter 19. I'm going to read two portions of Scripture, one in John and one in Matthew. John 19, 14. John chapter 19, verse 14. And Matthew. You got this, please stand if you have it. We're delighted to have our visitors with us today. You that are visiting, we thank God for you coming to Bethel Baptist Church. I pray you'll be blessed and you'll keep coming and coming and coming. And just keep coming till you're part of us. Amen? Amen. We're glad to have you. I wear on people. You know, when I preach, my face gets red. I shout. Sometimes I spit, jump up and down. You say, man, what is that guy? But if you'll keep coming, you'll understand that I really care about you. And I'm just a straight fellow that cares about people. Don't pull no punches, just a straight shooter. But I care about people. I care about you. And I believe the Bible is the pure word of God. Amen? And I just tell you what I believe God's telling you. I just read you what God says. And I get excited about it. Amen? I think we ought to get excited about what God says instead of the world. All righty. If you have John chapter 19, don't lose Matthew 27 now. Look at John 19, verse 14. And it was preparation of the Passover, about the sixth hour. And he said, Pilate's talking to the Jewish people there. He said unto the Jews, behold your king. I wish people would put their eyes on Jesus. Pilate didn't realize he was making a prophetic statement, didn't even realize it. I think everyone in the whole world ought to behold the King of Kings. But they cried out, verse 15, away with him! Away with him! Crucify him! Pilate said unto them, shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, we have no king but Caesar. Then if you look at Matthew chapter 27, verse 22 through 25, Pilate's again, the same sequence, another book, same happening. Pilate said to them, What shall I do then with Jesus? Do you have Matthew 27, verse 22? What shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? He asked my question, what shall I do with him? They all said unto him, let him be crucified. And the governor said, what? Why? What evil had he done? He didn't do any evil. He was perfect. All he did, ever noticed Jesus? All he ever did was feed the hungry, heal the sick, and raise the dead. Love the unlovely. Yet they wanted to kill. He was a sinless, without blemish, pure, holy Lamb of God. Amen? But they cried out more, let him be crucified. When Pilate saw he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made. He took a water and washed his hands. He thought he was washing his hands. He wasn't more. He had power to release him. He didn't do it though. He washed his hands before the multitude, saying, "I am innocent." He wanted to believe he was, but he isn't. To know to do good and not to do it, the Bible says sin. I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. And then answered all the people, verse 25, his blood be on us and our children. Just go ahead and crucify him. Heavenly Father, you put this in my heart to preach, and I pray it can be a blessing. And Lord, I pray if there'd be some here tonight that's never really, really trusted in the blood of Christ that was shed for their sins. Lord, that they would receive it today and have atonement. Lord, they might get that wonderful justification that we're going to preach about tonight. Lord, a justification that's even more than being saved. But Lord, I pray today that people would just have a thankful heart and a loving heart for the Son of God who loved us so much and died for us and shed his blood. Help me now, Father, to do well for you that I might be a blessing to them. Put your hand on me. Fill me with the Spirit of God. Help me to say all things that would glorify Christ. We ask these things in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Thank you. You might be seated. Matthew 27, 22. Pilate asked a question of the Jewish people who stood before him that day. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? I believe that question should be asked today in 2006. What will you do with Christ today? What have you done with Christ in 2006? What have you done? Even though it's been over 2,000 years since that question was posed before those people. What have you done with Christ? What will you do with Christ? That question still rings out even to this day. It echoes from Pilate's voice even to this day. Approximately 2,000 years ago, the cry that came back to Pilate were, crucify him! Crucify him! Verse 24 and 25 of Matthew 27. They spoke on that day, they spoke of Jesus' blood being on them and their generations to follow him. They look at verse 25. Then answered all the people, his blood be on us and on our children. That's a bold statement. It's a statement of sorrow and tragedy. You know, they said that not knowing that Jesus shed his blood for so they might have forgiveness of sins. The blood, the very blood that they were saying his hand, blood being on hand, that very blood was shed for their sins and for their children's sins and for the sins of all the world. Can anyone say amen? That sin, that blood that they mocked was being shed for the forgiveness of all their sins, and so they could have a home in heaven. Can anyone say amen? The blood was on their hands, and by the way, the blood was on their hands and on Pilate's. Even though Pilate washed his hands and said, the blood's not on my hands. Oh, yes, it was, Pilate. Both Jew and Gentile, they're all guilty for the blood of Jesus Christ. Romans 3:19 says, every mouth stopped. And the whole world guilty before God. See, they all sent Jesus to the cross of Calvary. Oh, that was the Jews saying, crucify him, crucify him. But that was the Roman governor, Pilate, that was in charge. So Pilate was a Gentile. The Jews were there. So you got the Jews, Eddie, and the Gentile, both Not just the Jews. Just don't blame the Jews for the crucifixion of Christ. It's both the Jews and the Gentiles that crucified the Son of God. And so both Jew and Gentile crucified Jesus. All men's sins were nailed on the cross that day. John 1:1, listen to this. John 1:1 says this. Jesus said, He came unto His own. John 1:11. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. Jesus came to the Jewish people, but they rejected Him. Listen, they received Him not. The Scripture plainly says in John 1:11, He came unto His own, but His own received Him not. Think with me now for a moment. The Jewish people refused to take Jesus as their Messiah. They regarded not His shed blood for them. They regarded not the sacrificial lamb that God sent for them. They received not Him as their Savior. Not only did they regard Him not, they refused Him, they rejected Him, they received Him not, but they also rejected Him as their King. Remember we read Matthew 19:15? We have no king but Caesar. Now, the Jewish people and the nation of Israel, they had no excuse for turning away the Son of God. And because of their blindness and because of their unbelief in the Messiah that God sent them from heaven, the Lord opened the door and opportunity of salvation to the Gentiles, to all people now. You see, when Jesus came, salvation was just offered to the Jewish people. You Gentiles, don't get too high-minded. When Christ was born in Bethlehem, and when he came to walk on this earth, He came just for the Jewish people. Oh, I know the foreknowledge of God. God knew what was going to happen. But His immediate goal was for the Jewish people. Look at Matthew chapter 10. Turn back a few pages. I've got you in Matthew 27. Look at Matthew chapter 10. See, remember, I quoted you John 1:11. He came unto His own. He came to Jew first. He came unto His own. And He just went to the Jew. His own received Him not. Look at Matthew 10:5. Don't fight this truth. It's a truth that's in the Bible. We're very fortunate. People should not hate the Jewish people. They ought to love the Jewish people. And Matthew chapter 10, verse 5, these 12 Jesus sent forth His disciples. He commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles. Now, you're either a Jew or a Gentile. If you're not a Jewish blood today, you're a Gentile. I don't care what color you are, what nationality you are. I don't care. If you're not a Jew, you're a Gentile. Go not into the way of the Gentiles and in any city of Samaria. That's because the Gentiles there. Enter ye not. Don't go those heathen. Don't go those Gentiles. Remember one lady said, Lord, would you help heal me? He said, can I give things to the dogs? He said, even the dogs eat the crumbs. Remember that? I'm telling you, Jesus came to the Jews. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Brian, if they would have received Him as their king, although they did, we had no king but Caesar. Matthew 19:15. Are you with me? He would have set His kingdom up right then. And salvation for us Gentiles would not then known. Hello? I know you don't like to hear that. Now, I know all you professors here, and we know God knew the foreknowledge. God knew what they were going to do before they did it, because He knows the beginning and the end. But He still went first to the Jew. How many are still with me? Now notice, so now they refuse their Messiah. They reject their Messiah. And so now what Christ does is this. after the Jews reject him, he opens up to everybody, the whole world. See, he just wants all people to be saved. In John chapter 1, I've quoted this about three times, I'll quote one more time for you. In John 1:11, he came unto his own received him not. But look at the next verse, 1:12. But now that they rejected him, but as many receive him now, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God, even though they believed on his name. Some of you dear folks, a couple weeks ago, trusted Christ your Savior. See, you believed on his name, yet you don't see him. You didn't see him physically, but you came forward and said, Lord, save me. You believed on his name. Are you with me? And because you did, you became a child of God, a son of God. Joint heirs with Christ. Tonight, if you want to shout tonight, you don't miss 6 o'clock tonight. I'll put you in glory. Matter of fact, we'll be walking you through heavenly places tonight. Literally. Now notice, now the Lord opens up for salvation. Who is salvation come first to? Yes. He said, don't go. By the way, I love West Virginia. I think the greatest people come out of West Virginia. But I have fun. I always have fun playing with them. My wife's from West Virginia. And I think I got the greatest wife in the world. Can anyone say amen? And they're the best cooks in the world, by the way. And they make the greatest wives in the world. Can anyone say amen? Now, with that said, let me have some fun with the West Virginia people. Because I do love them. And by the way, no one has more hospitality than a West Virginian. I thank God. Although I was a Buckeye, I was brought into the family of God through West Virginia. Amen? It's almost heaven. West Virginia, almost heaven. See, when God came, though, believe it or not, you West Virginia folks, how great you are. By the way, so many people from West Virginia came up to Ohio, they made Akron the capital of West Virginia. Amen? Thank God for them. Amen? But see, God didn't open up to the West Virginia people till he went to the Jews first. And then he said, okay, you folks from West Virginia, they turned me down, but you got enough sense to trust me, so I'll let you come. By the way, not just you folks from West Virginia, but anywhere else in the whole world. Even though sometimes we from West Virginia think we got a key on everything. Amen? Let me say amen to that. God opened up to the whole world. Not just to the Jew, but the whole world. But all, the door is still open to the Jew too. See, the invitation to the Jewish people still today, same. Please come, I love you, I'm your Messiah. But to the West Virginian folks, youngs, come too. Amen? How many get what the preacher trying to tell you? Now stay with me. I want you to turn to Romans chapter 11. You know what? You know what? When I'm teaching the book of Romans, you're just going to have to be in Romans a little bit about every Sunday. There ain't no greater book taught than the book of Romans. That five major doctrines, foundational book of the Bible. Look at Romans chapter 11. Matter of fact, when you study chapters 9, 10, 11 in Romans, you'll see the past, present, and future dealing of God with the Jews. In those three chapters, you take my book of Romans, you'll get the teaching. And believe it or not, just show up on Sunday, you'll get some teaching. Bits and pieces, amen? Notice what it says in verse 15 in Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11, verse 15. For if the casting away of them, talking about the Jewish people, be the reconciling of the world. Remember, he came, hey Peter, hey John, don't go to Samaria. Just go to the house of Israel. But they didn't. They rejected him. They refused him. They crucified him. Are you with me? For if, by the way, now they crucify him, but the Roman government, which is all the represents a generation, Gentiles. For if the casting away of them, talking about the Jewish people, be the reconciliation of the world, what shall the receiving of them be? But life from the dead. For if the first fruit be holy, that's what they were the first fruit. The lump is also holy, and if the root be holy, so also are the branches. And if watch verse 17, if some of the branches be broken off, and thou being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them. Hey, Gentiles, don't get a high mind. We just got grafted in. We're not of the true thing. We got grafted in, man. We're grafted among them, and with them partakers of the root and the fatness of the olive tree. In other words, man, you got the same blessing as them, and you ain't even part of it. Boast not against the branches. In other words, don't talk bad about Israel. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root of thee. Hey, by the way, guess where your blessings are come? Guess where the stem, guess where the root of blessings come from? It comes from over there from Jerusalem. Don't knock Israel. Don't knock them little Hebrews. The blessing comes from them. Oh, I know it's from God. Stems through them. Are you with me? Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Why? Verse 20. Why were they broken off? They were broken off because of unbelief. They were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. In other words, don't look down your holy nose at the Jewish people and say, well, man, they're pretty stupid. They should have took the Messiah. Now we look and say, what's wrong with those people? Don't those Jewish people have any sense? Can't they see that Christ was the Messiah? By the way, you didn't until God showed you. Hello? And God said, don't look down your holy nose. You think it's holy, but it's not. Anything holy about us is only comes from God. Because there's nothing within us that's holy. We have a holy God that gives us a holy salvation. But outside of God, we've got nothing. We're all unclean. Notice verse 25. Well, yeah, I know, but I'm going to 25. I can't teach it to them. Yeah, you want me to? You guys, that's how come I never get done in Romans. You guys, it takes me. Amen. Well, I'll do 21, Annie. For if God spared not the natural branches, talking about Israel, take heed lest he also spare not thee. I'm glad I read that. Thank you. In other words, hey, if he didn't even spare the natural ones, the ones he really came for, don't take for granted your opportunity. Because if he didn't spare them, you think he's going to spare you too for your slackfulness? Now I am going to go to 25. Because I can't preach in every verse, Danny. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant. God don't want us to be in the dark. God doesn't want us to know. Not, ignorant means you don't understand. You don't know. God wants his people to know things. Of this mystery, that you should be wise in your own conceits. We get so caught up thinking we're so much better than other people. We're not better than nobody. That blindness, in part, has happened to Israel. Until the fullness of the Gentiles become in. He said, man, they're blind right now. And you West Virginia folks and all the rest of you folks, we'll let other people include, won't we, West Virginia? Anyways, West Virginia and the rest of the folks in the world, we're going to let you in on this because blindness has come to Israel. Only to the times, look at what it says in verse 25. Until the fullness of the Gentiles become in. In other words, Eddie, one day God's going to cut it off. One day God's going to say, okay, I'm not opening up to the Gentiles no more. One day the last person is going to be saved. One day Christ is going to come back, and one day the Jews are going to receive their king. One day, Brother Bobby, one day, and it's going to come, you mark her down, one day Israel is going to look to the Messiah. They're not right now. They're stumbling. They're blind in part. But one day, by the way, and until that day comes, you that are Gentiles, you better take advantage of this. You better not take this lightly, you Gentiles. You better really grab hold of what I'm giving. Listen, you don't even belong in. You don't even belong in. I'm grafting you in. Hello? Isn't this good stuff? Gentiles, don't be high-minded. You're only grafted in because the Jewish people rejected their Messiah. Now watch. Go to John 3:3. I'm going to put all this together. Now don't get excited because I got two more pages. I laid a foundation to preach to you. But I won't preach long. Who did Jesus come to first? Jews. Should we love the Jews? You better believe it. What was God's intention for salvation first? The Jews. The only reason it opened up to the Gentiles was because of the Jews' rejection of the Messiah. And we're on the outside. We're lucky. We're those that trust Christ, they're just being grafted in. Are you still with me? He uses an illustration of a tree being how you would graft a thing. It's not a part of the real thing. You're just trying to make it part of it. How many are with me? He's trying to show, hey, you Gentiles, don't look down on those wonderful little Jewish people. You're lucky they turned the Messiah down. You wouldn't even, it's because of them, their blindness, that you're being able to get grafted in. You want to be on your knees thanking God. Man, I'm glad they didn't. I'm glad they turned the Messiah down. I'm glad they gave me an opportunity. I'm glad they struck out so I could get a bat at the plate. If I can use that for the sports enthusiasts. And you wouldn't even got to the plate if they wouldn't have turned the Messiah down. Hello? Boy, now that you got an opportunity to get a bat at the plate and you don't take salvation, it's your fault. You don't have an excuse. Can you imagine people got the opportunity to come up the plate and hit a home run for salvation and don't even come to the plate? And it's a free plate appearance? I didn't have this plan. That's all. IGA extra coupons, free. Jesus said in John 3:3, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the, he can't see the kingdom of God. How many are with me in John 3? Listen, in the question in 2006 is this: who can come to Jesus and be saved? Who can come to Jesus in 2006 and be saved? The Bible is very plain. The Bible is very definite. Who can come to be saved? Notice, look at John chapter 3, verse 14. 3:14. As Moses lifted up the serpent, remember they got bit by the snakes? The whole world's been bit by the Satan's snake and venom of sin and death. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Remember, he raised up and says, look up, look up. The brazen serpent, look up. And those that looked up lived. See, Christ was risen on the cross. The greatest judgment, Christ took all our judgment on the cross of Calvary. He took the wrath of God. He took our judgment. He took our sin. He paid for our stripes. Can anyone say amen? Of course, back in Moses' day, all that looked up, they lived. Those that didn't look up, they died. You look up to Jesus, you're going to live. You don't look at Jesus, you're going to die. Are you still with me? Look at verse 15. I want you to start. Tommy, I'm going to work on this word, whosoever. It just keeps on coming up in the Bible. So if there's any electionists here right now, if anyone electionists, here's my tape. You better hold on to your seat because I'm going to blow election right out of the Bible right now. Election means some people teach you have to be an elect to get saved. I'm going to tell you, when you get saved, you become the elect. Because the Bible says, look at verse 15, that whosoever, the question is, I know he came for the Jews back then, and only the Jews, but now who can be saved? That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Who can come to Christ? Whosoever will. Whosoever surely meaneth me, surely meaneth me, surely meaneth me. And whosoever surely meaneth me, whosoever meaneth me. Can anyone say amen? I'm glad we got a Bible that teaches that whosoever will now in the year 2006 can come to Christ. I know when Christ came 2,000 years ago, it was just to the Jews. But now he's opened up to all people. even beyond the scope of West Virginia. Amen? But a lot of us from West Virginia, we're coming. Amen? Notice, look at John 4:14. But whosoever, are you in John 4:14 with me? But what's the word? Whosoever, Jesus said, drinketh the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And who can have that everlasting life? Whosoever. Who can drink of the water? Whosoever. Look at John 11:25-26. I'm going to give you a thought here, and I'm going to put it all together, and you'll see what preacher's doing. John 11:25, talk to Mary and Martha. 25 of John 11, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And Martha, whosoever, let me see that. Martha, this is not just limited to you and Mary and Lazarus, your brother. Are you with me? And those around you are good. No, this is, it's whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? How many see that? Look at Acts chapter 2. You see, whosoever means you. Whosoever means me. Look at Acts 2:21. Look at Acts 2:21. And it shall come to pass, Acts 2:21, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Who can call on the Lord? Whosoever will. That's right. Whosoever will. Whosoever. Look at Acts chapter 10:43. See, Jew or Gentile, doesn't matter. Whosoever will may come. Acts 10:43. In Acts 10:43, look at the scripture says, to him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him should receive remissions of sins. I'll show you that tonight. Remission means forgiveness. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:22, for there's no remission of sins. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. See, Christ shed his blood so you could have remission, forgiveness of sins. Are you still with me? Notice, look what it says. To him give all the prophets witness. All through, you read all your scriptures, and they all kept telling about this Christ to come, this Messiah, the Savior, the one that loved you and died for you and shed his blood on Calvary, the one on the third day rose from the grave. They gave witnesses, and through his name, through the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, whosoever, I'm in Acts 10:43, whosoever believeth in him, whosoever, I mean, who does whosoever mean? Means you, means me, means your family, means your friends, means people in Germany, means people in Africa, means people in Spain, means people in Albania, it means people in Rome, it means people down in Louisiana. Listen, it means anywhere, whosoever will. Whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sin, forgiveness of sin. Think with me now. Whosoever means, Annie, whosoever means the thief on the cross, Lord, remember me. Whosoever means blind Bartimaeus, son of David, have mercy on me, on the side of the road crying out, son of David, have mercy on me, son of David, have mercy. That's whosoever means. Whosoever means Saul the murderer that stood at the feet of Stephen and had him killed. That's who whosoever means. Means Peter, the rough and ready sailor, the fisherman, the rugged, quick man that was quick with a sword, cut Malchus' ear off, and quick to speak out and deny the Lord three times. That's whosoever will means Peter. It means whosoever will for doubting Tom, for all the doubters in the world. For like Tom, if I don't see it and put my hands in, I'm not believe. Whosoever means for doubting Tom's. Whosoever means for Nathaniels in the world who says, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Whosoever means for the woman at the well who had five husbands and who did, and the man she was living then with wasn't her husband. Whosoever means for all those ladies like her and all those men like her. Whosoever means for Lazarus in Luke 16, the beggar that died, didn't have nothing, but he grabbed over mansions in glory, because whosoever meant for the poor man too. And whosoever means for the rich man too. Can anyone say amen? Whosoever means for Zacchaeus, who climbed up a tree and said, Lord, after he got saved, if I cheated anybody, I'll give fourfold back. By the way, don't you think he cheated some people, or he wouldn't have been saying that? Showed real repentance. Whosoever means for Matthew, the tax collector, who all were crooked. They're like lawyers and car salesmen today. David didn't like that. That's why you got to go to Dave, because he's not going to cheat you. I don't know who's going to have more in their lawyers or car salesmen. I don't know. But God died for all of them. A little levity. If you're a lawyer listening, I'm just having fun. Car salesman, my son sells cars. Trust me, I'm having fun with you right now. But Christ did die for all people. I don't care what profession you are, or if you don't even have a profession. Christ died for all people. See, whosoever will may come. It's for presidents and kings. It's for paupers. It's for the school teacher. And it's for everyone else in between. Can anyone say amen? It's for the students and for the dads and moms. It's for the teachers and the principals. Whosoever means Matthew could be saved, even though he was a tax collector. Yeah, even the IRS can be saved. Boy, that's coming a long ways, isn't it? Whosoever means that those working for Uncle Sam, they have a long ways to come, by the way. Whosoever will may come. Means Luke the doctor. Means Luke the doctor, Brother Luke. It means if you're a doctor, whosoever will may come. You see, it doesn't matter who you are. The cross is all, the ground's all level at the cross. And whosoever will may come. Isn't that wonderful? Now, read this scripture with me and we'll be going home in just a few minutes. Look at Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22, verse 17. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Hey, all you football players, all you basketball players, all you NBA players, thank God for LeBron James. I hope he knows Christ as his Savior. I think he's the greatest basketball player that's playing today. I don't think he should ever be booed. I think he's done more for Cleveland than anybody around here. I think anybody who boos LeBron James should have their head examined. Guy's done more to help this. But I hope he's saved, though. Because even though he can slam dunk, he's probably the greatest I've ever seen. If he doesn't know Christ as a Savior, and I don't know if he might. I don't know. I need to send him a letter and ask him. No matter what great star you mention, I mentioned him because he's in our area. If they're not saved, they need to be. Could an NBA star be? Could he come to Christ? Could a football player like the Tom Brady? Thank you. Could Tom Brady come? Yeah. Whosoever will may come. Could the baseball stars in Cleveland come? The Pronk, one of my favorite ball players. Could he come? Whosoever will may come. Even the ones I don't like could come. Amen. Can anyone say amen? I do like a lot of those players, though. They have a good young team. But by the way, if they, as great as they excel on the field, no matter what field it might be, if they don't know Christ as Savior, they're losers. And they're eternal losers in hell. Notice Revelation 22:17, a Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that's athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. God's in the last book of the Bible, the last chapter of the Bible, and almost the last verse of the Bible, and he's still saying, Whosoever come. Whosoever come. Oh, what a great invitation from God. Can anyone say amen? How do you come? Look at Romans chapter, we'll close the scripture. Romans chapter 10. Here's how you come. You come just as you are. You got nothing to offer God but sins. But He died for your sins on the cross of Calvary and He rose. He's in heaven now. All you got to do is invite Him into your heart. Trust Him by faith. Amen? Look at Romans chapter 10 and verse 9. That if thou should confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in the heart that God raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Do you believe Jesus died for you? If you don't, you're not going to get there. See, every person has to know they're lost. You've got to know you're lost before you can get saved. You've got to know that you're going to pay for your sins if you don't let Christ pay for them. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You can either pay for the wages or take the gift. I took the gift. Aren't you glad you took the gift? Jesus is the gift. Notice that if thou shalt confess in the mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in the heart that God raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Man, I remember that in 69 for the old green couch. I said, oh, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Lord, save my soul. Save me from hell. Take me to heaven when I die. Lord, I'm trusting You. Man, I knew I needed Christ. I wasn't after religion. I wasn't after baptism. I wasn't after praying in the Man, I just wanted salvation. See, salvation is real. It's a personal thing, one-on-one. Just like the basketball players play one-on-one. You got to play one-on-one with Jesus. Hope that's a good illustration. And you got to, you just like a lot of people, and I was one of them, was hoping that they would come to my door at that Korean public house, knock at my door and say, yeah, you won. You got to let Jesus come to your door. And He's knocking. You got to let Him say, I want you to come into my house. I'll take the winnings of eternal life through Christ. That's a sure hope, not a false hope. Notice, Jesus said, whosoever will may come. And He's crying out still. In Romans chapter 10, look what he says in the next coming verses. How many have Romans chapter 10? Look at verse 11. Well, verse 10. 10:10. For with the heart, it all comes from the heart, not the head. It's not in the head, it's in the heart. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. And you get in your heart, it'll come out of your mouth. Lord, I want You. For the Scripture, now by the way, that's all that matters. For the Scripture says, whosoever, hey Tommy, there's that word again. Whosoever believeth on Him should not be ashamed. Look at verse 12. For there's no difference now in 2006 between the Jew and the Greeks. We've given an illustration of the Greeks. We've given you a definite. Amen. That's all people. How many are with me? The Greek represents all the Gentiles. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. In other words, the Jew can be blessed and the Gentile can be blessed together by calling on the same Savior, same Messiah, same risen Christ. You see, he's the Savior for Jew and Gentile now. And the Jew has to be saved just like the Gentile. And look at verse 13. I love it. For whosoever, how many see that? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. A lot of people say, well, preacher, I'll try to work my way back to God. I'll try to get good enough. No, you just come, to, whosoever, just come this way you are. Well, preacher, you don't realize what I did. Preacher, you don't realize all the bad I did in my life. The Bible says, no, whosoever will may come. See, there's murderers and adulterers and whoremongers and thieves and evil all through the Bible. And they're saved. They came and they came and they came. And Jesus saved. Matter of fact, He never turned one away. Isn't that great? He just says, come. Just come the way you are. That's why we sing that song, Just As I Am. That's how God wants you, just as you are. Now notice as I close this out. Whosoever may come. The gift of salvation that through Jesus Christ goes out to anyone. The gift of salvation goes out to everyone. The gift of salvation goes anywhere. And the gift of salvation goes everywhere. Because whosoever may come to anyone, to everyone, at anywhere, at any place, at any time. Whosoever will. Isn't that exciting? Jesus says, come. Jesus died for your sins. Jesus arose for your justification. Romans 4:25, he was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. I'll show you that tonight at 6 o'clock. Now notice in my closing words. The Savior, how many believe the Savior has come? The sacrifice has been made. Salvation of God is freely given and offered to all men, all people, everywhere. The invitation sent out to all people, whosoever will. No one excluded. Whosoever may come. You know, I said all that to get this one sentence across. If people don't come to Jesus, then they die in their sins. And Romans 1:20 says they are without excuse. Romans 2:1 says they are thou art inexcusable. And Romans 3:8 says your damnation is whose damnation is just. Listen, those that don't take Christ as their Savior, they die without a Savior. They die and go to hell forever. Question, what have you done with Jesus? What have you done with Jesus? He came for all people. I know he just came for the Jew at first, but now if you don't take him now, you'd be just like those Jewish people back then when he was born. They reject him. Are you going to do the same thing? Are you not going to learn from their mistake? Are you not going to take advantage of that, the opportunity that they gave you? Are you going to reject the opportunity that you have now? Hello? Notice, Jesus wants all people to go to heaven. Listen, but you have to receive him. If you have reject him, you will spend eternity in hell. And if you put him off, you'll be like King Agrippa of Acts chapter 26, verse 28, when he said, Paul almost persuadeth me to become a Christian. Don't be almost persuaded. Man, take Christ today. I quote this verse and I'm closing. I really am getting close. Trust me. I try to tell you a couple times to get you break and get ready. John 14 says this. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. I'm in 14:1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. There really is a heaven, folks. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again and receive it in myself. That where I am, there you may be also. Eddie, I get excited because I know I'm going. It's real. And then they said, How can we know? And Jesus said, I am the way. Verse 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father. I don't care if they're Jew or Gentile. I don't care what race, nationality, what country you're from. They must all come through the Son of God. He's the doorway to heaven. Can anyone say amen? Heaven is available to all people. Heaven is for whosoever will. Heaven is for whosoever will believe in Jesus. If you don't get saved and go to heaven when you die, here's my title, my message. And I did all that for one statement. If you don't get saved and you die without Christ and you end up eternity and forever, forever in hell, you have no excuse. You have no excuse. If you spend eternity in hell, you have no excuse. If you die without Christ, you have no excuse. If you die without the forgiveness of Christ and the gift of eternal life in heaven and mansions in heaven, if you lose out on heaven and all the glory in the mansions, you have no excuse. You have no excuse because it's all there for the taking right now. And those that grab hold, they inherit the kingdom of God. If the Jewish people would have grabbed them then, Annie, they would inherit the kingdom of God. If I was you, and you've never grabbed hold of eternal life through Christ, I would embrace him today. Because if you die without him, you have no excuse. You will spend eternity in hell forever and ever. And you have no excuse. If you don't receive God's justification through Jesus Christ, you have no excuse, because whosoever will may come. Well, I lived on the other track. I was too rich. I was too poor. I was a Jew. I was a Gentile. No. Shut your mouth. The whole world, guilty. You have no excuse. Can I ask you, and we're going home now, what have you done with Christ? The Jews turned him down back there 2,000 years ago. Are you any better than them? Don't point your finger at the little Hebrews. Don't push the little nation Israel down. Don't mock them and make fun of them. What have you done with them? What have you done with the Messiah of God? What have you done with the Lamb that God sent from heaven? What have you done for the sacrifice that God gave? They rejected it. They refused it. They disregarded it. They did not receive it. By the way, have you received it? Have you regarded it? Have you rejected it? Hello? They have no excuse. If you don't get saved, you have no excuse. What have you done with Christ? And by the way, if you've taken him as your Savior, how do you live for him today? If you're not, you have no excuse. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray with all my heart that people realize how wonderful, what a gift salvation really is. Oh, to think that God would love us that much. Give us an opportunity. Oh, God, this opportunity to be saved, to become a child of God. Not even thinking about the mansions in heaven, the glory, and Lord, just being escaped the depths of hell. Just thinking that you suffered for my sins on the cross of Calvary. That alone just is beyond my comprehension. How you loved the unlovely. How you loved enemies. Here in his love, not that we love God, but he loved us and gave his Son to be propitiation for our sins. And not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. I wonder, with our heads bowed today, before we go home, can I ask you, Pilate, I started the message out with the statement that Pilate made. What should I do with Jesus called the Christ? If you don't receive him as your Savior, you're just like them saying, crucify him, crucify him. Can I ask you something today? How many could say with a real heart, true to God and true to you, Pastor, I've actually asked Christ to save my soul. I know he's my Savior. Could you raise a hand? I know for sure I'm saved. I know if I go to die, I go to heaven. Thank you. May put him down. Is there any today that say, Pastor, I'm not sure. Pastor, I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. Would you pray for me? Anyone like that today? Pastor, I don't want to die and go to hell. I don't know if I've ever really trusted Christ as my Savior. Pray for me. Who'd say that? Preacher, include me in that prayer. I won't come to you, won't embarrass you, but I will pray for you. Preacher, I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. And I don't want to die and go to hell. Especially after all Jesus did for me. I don't want to lose out on what God did. I don't want to lose the opportunity of salvation through the Son of God. What have you done with him? Christian, what have you done for Christ? Oh, I know you're going through life, but is your life counting for him? Not everybody's a preacher. Very few are preachers. But all Christians can live for God. You don't have to be a preacher to be a good Christian. How many say, preacher, I know I'm saved, but lately I've not been serving like I should. Pray for me. Who'd say that? Yes, 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 sir. God bless you. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, I see that. God bless you. What have you done with him? What should I do with Christ? What should I do with Jesus to be called the Christ? By the way, Jesus was his earthly name. Christ is his heavenly name. Anointed from heaven. Father, I pray that you'll just bless, Lord, work in our hearts. Help us to do something with the Savior. I pray there be none like King Agrippa that said, almost persuaded me. Lord, if there be any even on the, by the way of listening on the internet to this tape, I pray if there anyone listens and they're thinking about being a Christian, I pray they won't say like King Agrippa who died without Christ. Lord, I pray that right now that they'll ask Christ to save them. They won't go any farther. Right now, while they're listening to the tape, they'll bow their head and ask Christ to save them. And Lord, if there's anybody here today, I pray with all my heart that they'll come to Christ. Please. And Lord, Christians, many raise their hand. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Help us. Help us to do something with Christ. Let's not crucify his life away. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand. We'll sing a verse. What page are you on, David? 375. 375. You'd like to come? You come right.